welcome back to Thick and Thin with me, Katie Bilotti. And tonight's episode is definitely juicy. It's definitely something you've been waiting for ever since I announced that I'm no longer working my 9-to-5. There's been so many questions, so many people being judgy, but then also people being understanding. It's just been like the craziest thing that I've ever done, I guess, in the sense that like people are giving their full opinion about it. So I felt that it was necessary for me to sit down and answer a lot of your questions about my career move. If you guys don't know what happened, basically, I was working at L'Oreal, a really great job, my dream job, so to speak, for a little over a year and a half. And I was there, you know, not hating my life. I didn't hate my job. I liked the people. I liked what I was doing. But I felt that there was more out there for me and there was more opportunities I had to kind of go on my own and do my own thing before I'm tied down to a corporate job. So to answer a lot of people's questions, like right off the bat, do I ever see myself returning to a corporate job? Maybe. Like, I don't write it off forever. I won't write it off forever. I feel like right now, though, at 24, when I'm creating all these things on the side that I'm really passionate about, I feel like I owe it to myself to try those things full time for a little bit and see how it goes. So that was kind of my main motivation for leaving L'Oreal. It's definitely been quite a whirlwind of, you know, making the decision, doing it, actually quitting, leaving, taking my desk plant home. Like, honestly, though, the funniest thing was people being like, Katie, we knew you quit because your desk plant is in your apartment. And so, like, that was kind of a dead giveaway, I guess, that I didn't really realize was a dead giveaway. People were like, we recognized the plant from your desk in your apartment. Something happened. You either got fired or you quit. And I'm here to say I quit. And it was an amicable quit. It was one of those things where I quit, you know, not because I was miserable, not because I hated my job. It was because I just didn't see myself there anymore in this immediate, you know, time. And if you guys want more details about what went into quitting and, you know, just more details about the actual quitting itself, I have a whole YouTube video about that and about, you know, what went into actually having the conversation and, like, you know, my motivation behind it. But tonight, I kind of want to answer a bunch of your unanswered questions, things that I just haven't answered yet about, you know, what I plan on doing now that I have all of this time and, you know, how I plan to continue to pay my rent and just things like that. A lot of the questions that were submitted, I asked on Instagram, are super valid things that you guys clearly, you know, need answers to. And a lot of people are like, Katie, like, you don't owe people an explanation, like, you know, as to what you decided. And I'm like, yes, I kind of do, in a sense that, like, I share so much online that I feel like when a major part of that changes, I kind of owe you guys not an explanation, not a justification, rather. I feel like women are always justifying themselves and always saying, you know, I did this because, like, instead of just doing that thing and, like, being unapologetic about it. But I feel like I do owe you guys kind of just talking you through why, because you might feel like in your personal life that things need to change and, like, you're kind of nervous about making that change. And I feel like I want to be here for you in the sense that, like, I made a massive, massive change that a lot of people, including, you know, my parents to a certain, you know, extent, kind of were like, are you sure about that? You know, even myself, I was like, am I sure about this? And I feel like at the end of the day, though, it's like there's no good time or no right time to do anything. It's like if you keep waiting for the right time to make a change or to do something, you're going to be waiting your whole life because there's no right time. So I did it. It's done. I'm no longer working at L'Oreal. I'm currently now working for myself. I'm not just making YouTube videos and, you know, just doing that. I have so many things that I'm working on, which is exciting, but I also need to, like, center myself, prioritize, figure out, you know, what among all these things I'm actually truly passionate about. Because, you know, at one point in time, I did think L'Oreal was my passion project and I thought that it was, you know, my dream. And then I realized that it is a dream. My job was a dream job, but just it was a dream job for not me, if that makes sense. Like, I felt like it wasn't a dream job for me. Also, FYI, if you hear any, like, weird noises, again, it's my heat clicking on and off. It just clicks. It does it. But it's freezing. I can't bring myself to turn it off. So I hope you guys understand. And every time you hear a click, you're like, okay, Katie's warm. I'm actually also two tequila, or what would you call those? Martinis? No, that's wrong. Margaritas. I am two margaritas deep, if you can't tell, because I couldn't figure out that it was a margarita. I'm used to drinking martinis. As you guys know, it's like my drink of choice. So having margaritas with a friend tonight was a change of pace for me. I'm You know, I dabble in tequila, but I'm not a huge tequila person, but I like a good smoky tequila drink. We went to this place called Zha 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 in the West Village. There also is another location in the city somewhere. I forget where the other one is. But funny enough, I was actually, or not funny, but just interestingly enough, I was actually at the restaurant tonight with my friend Lindsay, who I met on Instagram. I feel like that's how people are meeting these days. You know, when you're not on a dating app trying to find like a boyfriend or something, you're on Instagram trying to find girlfriends, because that's how I've met a bunch of people that I didn't go to school with, because a lot of people that I went to school with are in New York, so I'm constantly finding myself just spending time with them because it's easier. But then I realized like I should probably be making new friends, because I'm in the city, I'm in like a really densely populated place, I should be meeting like-minded people, other creatives, especially now that I'm working on my own during the day. So, you know, we met on Instagram a few months ago, and then she finally actually moved to the city. She was in Philly. She's now here. She's very creative. We're very similar. So we met up for drinks tonight. And she actually asked me, it was like kind of like a friend date. She was like, when we first got there, she was like, Katie, like, let me know why I'm nervous right now, like for a friend date. Like, I feel like friend dates sometimes are more nerve wracking than like an actual date. So we went out, we got tequila drinks. I got a really nice smoky tequila drink, my favorite. We got chips and guac. And now I'm sitting here recording an episode for you guys. And I'm trying to, I like feel the tequila. I'm feeling the honesty coming out. I feel like when I drink tequila, I'm super honest. So here we go. Get ready. I know you're probably maybe listening to this in the morning and you're like, you know, cringing at the thought of tequila, but like, you know what? I'm feeling like just spilling my guts tonight. So let the guts be spilled. I have so many questions you guys submitted. I'm always like, for whatever reason, blown away when I look at my, you know, when I'm asking a question on Instagram and I see all these responses, I'm like, does this many people like actually listen to the podcast? I can't even fathom it. This morning, I was actually at a meeting with a potential network that I might sign with for the podcast, which I will say, I'm just going to say it now, like it will not change like the overall, you know, format of my podcast. I like how low key it is. I like how casual it is. I don't want it to change at all. So like meeting with this network was like very cool, because I was like, giving them, like, I was like, I want to edit my own podcast. I don't want it to be edited by anyone else. Like, I want to do my own thing, whatever. But regardless, I always like forget that the podcast is like, I always think of it as like my little baby that's like kind of like on the side, something that I like, I'm very passionate about, and I don't want it to be like blown out of proportion. So yeah, I'm always just blown away when you guys are like obsessed with the podcast, because I'm obsessed with the podcast. It's like my little baby that I don't want it to be like, I want it to be like this special thing forever. I feel like it's like, you know, when your kids grow up, and I mean, not that I would know this firsthand, but like when your kids grow up and move out of the house, like I don't want that for the podcast. I want the podcast to stay in my arms forever. So anyway, I digress. I love that you guys submitted so many questions. So many of you guys, I mean, you asked like some pretty like, you know, things I was expecting, and then some things that I'm like, wow, like I never thought of this, or like, wow, okay, I'm feeling a little insecure, but you know, whatever. I feel like being uncomfortable, it grows you. So okay, I'm just gonna dive in. I'm gonna answer a ton of questions. Hopefully I answer your question or things you're curious about. And like I said, if you want more of a deeper dive into, you know, my motivation behind quitting my job and things like that, please watch my YouTube video. I made a whole video on it. I believe it was titled like Why I Quit My Job, or I Quit My 9-to-5 Job and Here's Why. I think that was it. So look that up, look up my first and last name, or just Hello Katie and it'll pop up. But yeah, so anyway, let's get into it. So someone just asked, do you think your content won't be relatable anymore without a 9-to-5? And this was definitely one of the main reasons why I felt like I shouldn't quit my job. That was, you know, I made a pros and cons list, which if you're considering quitting your job or making any sort of just major move in your life, I recommend it. I recommend making a pros and cons list and just listing out, you know, the implications of either choice. That's just kind of how I am as a thinker. I'm always like, you know, if I'm making a big move, if it's even a big purchase, I'm like, okay, here's a list of pros, here's a list of cons. And if the pros outweigh the cons, obviously, you know what you got to do. I feel like there was even a Sex and the City episode about this where Miranda was making a pros and cons list about Steve. Yeah, with any big decision, I think a pros and cons list is a good idea. So I was making a pros and cons list, and on the cons side of the list, this was in like bold and underlined. Like I felt that I wouldn't be relatable to you guys anymore, and that you guys would look at me and think like, oh, she couldn't do it, or like, I'm a failure, I couldn't balance everything, whatever, a number of things. Those were like the biggest insecurities or the biggest just roadblocks in my decision to cut ties with L'Oreal. So I definitely thought about it, but then I, you know, I sat kind of back and I thought about it more and I was like, you know what? If I love making content for you guys and I love trying to be as relatable, or not trying, just being and hoping that I'm relatable to you guys and hoping that you guys can feel comfortable with my situations that I go through and my, you know, solutions for the situations. And, you know, when it comes to dating, when it comes to a lot of hard things, I want to be right there with you on those things. But when it comes to my life, when it comes to something that was making me really unhappy, not that my job was really bad, but I just felt like I felt stuck. I felt trapped in where I was. And not that it was a bad place to be trapped, but I felt trapped nonetheless. And I needed to get out of there. I needed to give myself a chance. I needed to try new things. And that was something that I needed to be selfish in. I needed to do it no matter what, even if that meant that I would become a little less relatable. And so I also kind of want to shift myself as a person and be more, I want to be relatable. I want to be, you know, right there with you when you're going through your struggles, you know, going through my own struggles and just talking about it super openly. But I also want to take those risks to show you guys that you can take them too. So this was a huge risk. It's, you know, it's going to have implications financially. It's going to have implications just in terms of my mental health. I'm going to really have to be there for myself and really, you know, I'm my own boss now. I have to be, you know, hard on myself and be diligent, but also I need to make sure I take breaks, because in being your own boss, you can tell, obviously, there's times where, you know, I'll be working till 2 a.m. on a video, wake up at 7 for something else. It's like, that's way more hours than I was working at L'Oreal. So I need to be, you know, I need to budget my time well, and there's a lot of things that come along with it. But to answer your question, like, was I worried about relatability? Yes, of course. But I think that my own mental health, my own well-being is more important. And I'm sorry if that offends you, but that's just it. And I feel like at some point in time, you got to stop being a yes man. I was a yes man for so long. I still kind of struggle with it. You need to know when to say no. You need to know when to put your foot down and be like, this might be great for you. This might help you, but like, it doesn't help me. So I need to step away from this. And I feel like that can apply to so many things. If you're in a toxic relationship, you know, your relationship with your job is very similar to any other relationship you have. So yeah, I need to love what I'm doing. If I'm with a person, I need to love that person. If I know I don't love that person, why do I stay with them? You know, it's not doing them any favors. It's not doing me any favors. So there you have it. That is why I did it. Okay, so the next question I'm going to answer is, are you concerned about the sustainability of an influencer career long term? The answer is yes, but the reason why I'm kind of okay with that answer and the fact that yes, you know, the influencer career is super unpredictable and, you know, half these, you know, platforms that we use so much weren't around X years ago. They could be the next MySpace. They could disappear into the abyss at any given moment. The reason why I'm not concerned about that too much is because I am really driven to do other things. I am actually, I feel like I didn't really make this very clear in my video. I tried, but like, you know, of course, I think it deserves a whole other video about it. My graphic design career and my just creative direction career, I really want that to take off. And I'm kind of happy, I'm really happy now that I have more time to devote to it and really sharpen my skills, because I've actually had a bunch of brands that I'm working with right now. Even in the past 2 weeks of being on my own, I've, you know, connected with some brands that I'm actually going to work for, in the sense that I will help them with their creative design and their direction, and I will help make videos for them, and I will help them with their fonts and their colors and their schemes and their different activations for certain products. And I've met with some pretty, you guys would like, if you knew some of the brands I've been meeting with, you'd be like, wow, like, I can't believe you were at L'Oreal for so long when you could be working with all these awesome brands. And, you know, I didn't hate L'Oreal. I loved L'Oreal. I think I just felt very limited with just working for one brand for the rest of my life. Like, I wanted to work with many brands at once, not overwhelming myself, but doing small projects, or, you know, one project at a time for each different brands. So that's my bigger overarching dream. And I think also a lot of people kind of, they don't really understand, or they think that I'm just doing influencing full time and, you know, drinking green juice and smoothies and going to the gym. And, you know, I will be doing those things. I like green juice and I like the gym, but I also have all these other things. And I have, you know, not trying to justify myself again, but I do want it to be clear that I have this other dream that I'm trying to pursue. And I have this passion for graphic design that I love infusing in my videos and having that as an outlet and having, you know, a place where I can express those to you guys and just myself. So YouTube will never die. The podcast will never die. Instagram, I love, but I also am doing this other thing where I'm kind of, I guess you can call it consulting. So I had two meetings today where I talked to two brands about, you know, how I can help them with their vision and such. And then I have another one tomorrow morning, actually. And they're kind of like just coming out of the woodworks, people that I've met in various different ways, not even just being an influencer, but just through college, like just people I've known in my life have been reaching out to me now that I've quit L'Oreal. And they're like, hey, like, I know you don't want a corporate job, but do you mind, like, would you be interested in freelancing and consulting and helping us get this idea off the ground with a startup or this new campaign? I'd love for you to do some hand lettering for it. As you guys know, I love calligraphy, so I'm trying to launch that as well. So influencing, yes, it is not a concrete career. I will say that. I will declare it on the rooftops of New York City. It's not, you know, it's definitely something people can make a killing at and people can do it and love it, but you know, and not to say, honestly, guys, that any career is set in stone. Even a corporate job, you know, there could be another recession. There could be mass layoffs at any moment. Nothing you do is fully concrete. But I will say what I'm doing right now, in the sense that I believe in myself and I'm doing things that I love, that's kind of concrete in a way, because although, you know, each client isn't concrete and isn't there forever, I feel like I can constantly be sharpening my skills and marketing myself in new ways. I mean, a year ago, I didn't even know I liked calligraphy. I didn't even know I liked, you know, those things or could even, you know, turn that into something that was monetizable. So there's constantly things coming out of the woodworks. And so I'm excited and, you know, for myself that I have other things besides just making YouTube videos and podcasting. Not that I don't love doing those things and that I won't continue, but like I have other things and I want that to be clear because yeah, I feel like people are like, oh, she's another YouTuber that's quitting to just like, you know, live a dream life that's not real. My life is real. Anyone could be a graphic designer, you know, if you have the skills and you learn the skills. I mean, I didn't even have the skills when I entered college, you know. I learned them and I, whatever. I could ramble all night on that topic, so I'm going to go on to another question before I talk the whole episode about that. So, okay, so people, a lot of people are asking about my financial situation now. Yeah, just like every question is like, how are you going to live now that you don't have this significant income? Because L'Oreal, of course, my salary was significant. And I will say this has been a long-winded decision, meaning I'd been contemplating this, rolling it around in my mind for months before I actually ended up doing it and pulling the trigger. So I had been considering quitting for probably the last 5 months or so, which is sad to admit, but also I think that it's one of those things where you have to really think about it, of course. You know, it's something where I wasn't miserable, so I was just kind of coasting and just doing my job and thinking about it, talking to my friends about it, talking to my parents, talking to my manager, just figuring out if it was something that was reasonable. I'm one of those people that I need to like really think about. Sometimes I'm impulsive, but sometimes I really have to think about things. So that was one of those things. So I've been thinking about it for a long time, and therefore I was saving. So I was kind of doing it without knowing it, to be honest. I was like subconsciously deciding that I wanted to put all this money away because I wanted to be able to, you know, do this and make this move. So I've been putting away a decent chunk of each paycheck, a decent chunk of each YouTube paycheck and L'Oreal paycheck in my savings account where I can't touch it. And so I do have a pretty decent amount of money in my savings to the point where I can support myself. I can live for about a year without making any money or making, you know, worrying. I don't have to worry basically because of that, because I'd put away enough money. And of course it is a blessing and it's amazing that I've been able to do that. And it's not something everyone can do. I feel like I keep having to say that, but I did it. And that's the reason why I feel kind of okay about this decision. I definitely didn't do it impulsively and been like, you know, I don't know where my, you know, people can do that, some people, but I just needed to know that I would be okay. And especially being a woman living by herself in the city, I needed to make sure that I was gonna be okay. So that's not a worry, you know, insanely after a year. Of course, it's 1 year, so, you know, time flies. So of course I do need to like put together a plan, and I'm really budgeting now. I'm actually like making spreadsheets. I am like fully budgeting my life. I'm meeting with a CPA. I'm like making sure that I'm, you know, making money and of course going to be able to support myself. It definitely was a huge blow not having, you know, my L'Oreal paycheck anymore, but in its place, you know, all that time I was spending working at L'Oreal, I'm now spending consulting. I'm now spending doing more collaborations with brands that I wasn't able to do before because I wasn't around during the day. And also, I think a huge thing that I haven't addressed really is that with L'Oreal, I had exclusivities. So I wasn't allowed to work with other beauty brands. And that meant skincare, that meant, you know, beauty as in cosmetics, and that meant hair. So I wasn't allowed to work with all of those categories, which means there was a lot of people I had to say no to. And that's a huge space that I wasn't able to play in. And if you now know, you know, looking back at my content, you're like, wow, yeah, she only really works with these like apps and like random brands. And that's why. So to answer your question, I'm not worried as much about financials as I was when I initially thought about it. Like, I initially was like, absolutely not, I can't do this because money. But then once I really, you know, did the facts and figures and wrote it out and, you know, budgeted the next year of my life, I was like, you know what, I can do this. So I think that that's initially extremely scary. And then you just kind of have to really look at the facts and meet with someone who's a professional. I have a CPA and it's helpful that way. So taking a quick break to introduce tonight's sponsor. Tonight's episode is sponsored by Care Of, which is a wellness brand that makes it super easy to get the right vitamins, supplements, and protein powders for your specific needs. So whether you're looking for glowing skin, more energy during the day, better sleep, or just something to support your health and fitness routine, Care Of helps you build and stick with a plan that is right for you. And I love Care Of vitamins specifically. I've been taking their vitamins for quite some time now. I love how personalized the packages are. They say my name on them. They're super easy to take on the go. And I make sure that I get exactly what I need just to keep me going. They have a super easy quiz you can take. It's like a 5-minute quiz. And from that, from your answers, there's some research-backed recommendations that are given to you based on your personal needs. So not everyone's is the same. It's super catered to you, which I like. And it's a super easy quiz to take. It takes 5 minutes. And also, your Care Of order gets shipped right to your front door in very convenient daily packs, which is perfect for a very busy, you know, on-the-go lifestyle. And I feel like this time of year especially, it's super important to be taking your vitamins when you're gonna get sick and like the holidays, you're eating all this crazy stuff. And so it's important to take your vitamins and stay on track with that. So I love Care Of for that reason. Also, something super cool about them is that they care about the environment with their new compostable packs that meet the same quality and safety standards, but they have tons of information on their site on how you can compost the packs. So they are environmentally conscious, which is really important. So I really truly do love Care Of. And of course, I have a discount code for you guys. So for 25% off your first Care Of order, go to takecareof.com and enter the code HELLOKATIE. That's hello, K-A-T-Y. So for 25% off your first order, go to takecareof.com and enter my code HELLOKATIE and get started with Care Of and see why I love them so much. And that is it for tonight's sponsor. Thank you to Care Of for sponsoring this episode, and let's get on with the podcast. Okay, next question. Advice for people who know this job slash life isn't for them, but they don't know what else they want to do. So I think the main issue with, or the reason why people are constantly like, I'm unhappy, but I don't know what else there is for me, or I don't know what I would be better at, etc. I think the reason why people feel like that and why I felt like that was because you're not giving yourself a chance to try other things. You feel very attached or very like you're meant to be in this place. You went to 4 years of school and you got here, and so you should just be happy because, you know, everyone's complaining about their jobs. Like, it's just a thing. Like, you're constantly, everyone's just complaining and taking turns complaining. You know, what if I told you you didn't have to complain? Like, eventually you could find a spot where you're not complaining and where you're really passionate. And yes, there's like little things here and there. You're gonna, not every job, it's a job at the end of the day, but you should be as, or more excited than you are complaining, okay? So I think that's a healthy way you should look at the job. So if you're feeling like you're complaining more than you're excited, or that you're, you know, maybe not excited, that's not like the right word, but like you're complaining more than you're happy where you are, I think that's when you start to think like, oh, there's probably something else out there. And like I said, I think a lot of people just, they don't give themselves a chance to dream. They don't give themselves a chance to try new things because they're so caught up in their current life schedule, their current, you know, deal of going to work and then drinking on the weekends and doing the same old things with their friends, that they're not giving themselves a chance to dream. And so for me, I was, you know, some days I would miss the party. I wouldn't go out on the weekends. I would take a night to myself and miss, you know, drinks with my friends, whatever, because I wanted to try new things. I, you know, dabbled in my calligraphy. I tried making tattoos for people, and I found such love in that that I was like, you know what? This could be something. And even if it wasn't like going on my own and doing this career, I could have maybe, you know, found another job where I could do calligraphy or just discover a new way that I could work this into my daily life. So I think people where they're like unhappy where they're, you know, currently are, if it means like at a marketing job or in PR or something, give yourself a chance to try something else, even if it's a very small way of doing that. And that could even mean going out to dinner with someone that's doing something different than you and ask them about their job, ask them what their day-to-day looks like, you know, do a little bit of networking kind of. I think that that's a way to dip your toe and to really see like what else is out there, because I think people get unhappy when they're super siloed and super tunnel vision in the sense that they don't see anything besides what they're doing. And, you know, once you start to meet other people that are doing things where they're either, you know, it just sounds more on brand for you, you know, that's the way to get into it. And ultimately, you know, some of those people may be able to put a good word in for you or let you know when an opening is happening. And the way you do that is just genuinely trying new things and talking to people that you don't know, talking to people that do something completely different than you. You know, you'd be surprised how inspired you'd be from those conversations alone. So, you know, a lot of things in the city for me, I have had opportunities. Like there's been meetups from like my college. There's been like alumni things where you can meet up and, you know, network with people that went to your school, which is super helpful, I think. Or there's just a bunch of, I mean, in the city, it's different, I feel like, than other, maybe it's not at all, but there's just a lot of ways you can meet people here. But it definitely means that you have to put yourself out there and you have to be a little uncomfortable. Like you're going to be uncomfortable when you first reach out to someone and you're like, hey, do you want to get drinks? But believe me, like that's how friendships start. That's how you end up realizing that you like something that you didn't know you liked. It's about, you know, putting yourself out there. So I think that's something I feel like you should, I mean, knowing and being able to admit that you're unhappy where you are is the first step to changing things. But after you admit that, you have to do something about it, because for me, I was unhappy where I was for a long time and I didn't do anything about it. And I was only hurting myself by doing that. And I was complaining. I found myself complaining to everyone and just not doing anything about it, which was my own fault. So that's my advice for that. Okay, I'm going to read some more questions. There's so many. Someone asked, did you not want to move up the corporate ladder? That wasn't really it for me. It was like, I wanted to just jump off the ladder altogether. Like, you know, I don't know. Corporate world, I could go back to it. I could see myself going back to it in maybe 5 years or okay, maybe less than that. I don't know, honestly. But right now, like I said, I think I owe it to myself to try and to see how this thing goes and maybe do something that's a little bit scary for once, that's a little bit uncharted. Like I'm out to sea. I am in uncharted territory. I am trying to find my way. And like, that is just, that's that. What hopes do you have for your career? Well, I obviously hope like in the next few years or so, maybe even in the next year, I really want to nail down my design business and, you know, get to be, ultimately, like when I look at myself in the future, like I see this like future rendering of myself, I see myself being someone that people are like, oh, Katie, like she has that great eye, like she has that vision, like I want to work with her to transform my brand, whatever. Because there's just people like, I look at like, or I think of like Annie Leibovitz, which is like a huge, she's a great photographer. She photographs for Vogue. She's like super regarded and highly respected. And so that name, like it's a name, it's becoming a household name. Like people are knowing who she is because she didn't, you know, she, what's that quote? It's like, you know, you do things in silence and let success be the noise or something. It's like, you just, you keep creating and doing things, even if it's a little bit different, even if it's a little bit crazy, whatever. Her style is really, really unique. And so I want to be, not I want to be like famous, but I want people to be like, oh, Katie Bellotti, like she gets it. Or like, I want to be known for more than just being an influencer and being a YouTuber and being a podcaster. Like I want to be someone that has, that people like think of me and they're like, she has that vision. And I know that's like kind of crazy to say or like admit that like, you know, or I don't know, like it is like, I want to look at myself or look back at this moment in 5 years and be like, wow, I'm happy that I was crazy enough to do this because look at me now. And it just all goes back to, you know, honestly, it all goes back to how I felt in high school and how little belittled I felt in high school and how people wouldn't touch me with a 9-foot pole in high school. And now I'm trying to make something out of myself and I'm trying to shift the narrative and not do it because I want to, you know, show those people that I am here. I want to do it for myself and I want to do it for me. And I want to really, like I said a million times already, sharpen my skills. I want to get better at things. And I feel like while I was at L'Oreal, while I was, you know, in that 9-to-5 job doing that same thing every single day, I felt like I wasn't learning as much or I wasn't doing or letting myself take risks and I wasn't letting myself fail. And right now I want to give myself room to fail. And I want to give myself room to try crazy things. And I think that ultimately that will make me a better visionary later on. And I want to work with a million different brands, like not a million, that's a lot, but like I want to work with different brands and I want to learn different things. And I don't want to be like just in that, you know, L'Oreal mindset for the rest of my life. I want to learn a ton of stuff. So yeah, that's kind of where I see myself. Not just like being I want to make it clear. I don't want to like you guys to be like, oh, she wants to be known as a cool person in 5 years. Wow. Like I want to just really develop myself as a person. I want to develop my style and I want to be someone that I would look at now at my future self and be like, wow, like she really understands herself and she is doing what's best for herself. So that was a long-winded answer. Okay, so many people are asking about financial stuff. Someone else asks, how do you keep structure and routine with your new work? I feel like I'm lost without a 9-to-5. A lot of to-do lists. I have currently 3 to-do lists on my, what I do is I actually map it out by day. So I have the day of the week on the top and then I have AM, PM, evening, or like late evening. Like I have like by hour things mapped out. And I actually also have time budgeted in here for resting and for relaxing and for just going, you know, for a walk in the park. Literally, I have walk in park on one of these because I've had, actually, honestly, this week has been super stacked because I've been slowly rolling out my client meetings where I can meet with people and talk about brands and stuff like that. So that has been a lot. So I've been trying to just budget my time well. And I was actually talking to someone, I was at an event on Monday for Saqqara Life and I met someone, I made a friend. I love making friends, especially at influencer events. They can be super daunting and scary because like people are, I mean, some people are super genuine, don't get me wrong, but some people are super ingenuine and just are like trying to meet people with more followers. And like, it's just a super, I could do a whole episode on that and just like toxic influencer culture, because for every amazing influencer, there's someone who isn't amazing. But I feel like you would see that in any career, not just influencing, but like I feel like influencers are given a hard time for it. Whatever. Met someone who was super amazing and genuine, obviously, at this event on Monday. And we were talking, she's actually also a freelancer and she's been doing it for years now. So I was asking her for some advice with time management and stuff. And she was like, you have to know that sometimes you can't sit down and finish a project. So like you have to take a step back, go for a walk. You can't just expect to devote 8 hours to like one. And I'm guilty of that, of just sitting down and being like, I'm going to start this video. I'm going to finish this video all right now. And I neglect everything else I need to do. So she's like, you need to budget out your time and like, you know, do a few hours here and there and be okay if you don't finish a project in one day, because that's not how it is meant to be. Like Rome wasn't built in a day. Like you don't have to do that. So that was really great advice. I definitely am a big to-do list person. I'm a big, you know, bracketing out, and I have this whiteboard. Whoa. Okay, motorcycle. I have this whiteboard calendar on my desk now that I got from Amazon. The best like $10 investment I've ever made. I think it was actually more than $10, but I have it like very visibly what I need to do when, because my biggest fear now is just doing too many things and kind of forgetting to do things. And also just forgetting to take time to rest, I think is another fear. So, okay. Someone asks, do you make eye contact with people on the subway? Is it a weird thing to do? I try not to, but I'm definitely a big people watcher. And I'm like constantly planning out characters for like my future novel that I probably won't write. That I hopefully will write in like 10 years. But regardless, I try not to make it obvious when I'm looking at someone on the subway. Because it's all for character analysis, you know, and like whatever. That's what I tell myself until they look back at me and I'm like, oh God, I'm caught. Okay, how do you prepare for a career switch while still at your 9-to-5 job? Well, I mean, coming from someone that, like, my biggest fear was cleaning out my desk, like, I really thought this through so much that I was like, okay, should I start slowly taking home things from my desk to prepare? Which I kind of did. I started kind of decluttering, like, a week before I even made the decision. I was slowly, like, just cleaning out my desk a little bit here and there, just so, like, it wouldn't be a huge undertaking. I'm so weird. This is weird to admit. So it wouldn't be, like, a huge undertaking when I was actually leaving. So, but I think in terms of, like, probably what she's asking is, like, preparing in terms of, like, who do you tell, who do you, or how do you kind of mentally prepare, how do you, I mean, what I did was I went to HR first, told HR, and then I went to my boss and told my boss, and then I went to the VP of the brand, which was terrifying, and told her and, you know, explained it to her. And the reason why I did that, actually someone asked me tonight, like, why did you do that, or why did you have to? I was like, well, it just, I mean, I don't know. It made sense to me to explain it to her firsthand and not have her hear it from someone else and the story be blown out of proportion. And I just thought I owed her an explanation. So I went to her and told her, and I told my coworkers, of course. And then from there on out, I had 3 weeks until I fully left. I put in 3 weeks, which is actually more than what I was expected, which is 2 weeks. So, you know, and why I did that was not only just common courtesy and being a decent human being, but also, you know, just, I wanted to leave on good terms. That was a big thing for me. I wanted to leave people knowing that I wasn't leaving for a competitor brand, which happens a lot, of course, and I wanted people to know that I was leaving because I wanted to try something, and I just wanted to be very clear why I was leaving, whatever. So, yeah, I did all those necessary things, and then after that, you know, it was kind of awkward, to be honest. Like, the next 3 weeks, it was like everyone kind of knew I was leaving, so it was like I was still doing things and going to meetings, but I was sitting there with people knowing that I was, like, I had an expiration date, kind of. So it was definitely, like, interesting being there even after I'd given in my notice. But I did what I could to basically prepare the next person and prepare my team for the time that there would be no one in my role. Because at L'Oreal, at least, I'm not sure how it is everywhere else, but, you know, there's some time where they're looking for a candidate. And, you know, a lot of people, honestly, I don't even know if there's going to be someone taking my role until January. So, or even if it's posted, I really don't know. So I wanted to make sure that in the interim, when there wasn't someone, that my team was prepared. So I scheduled out all these posts for social, and I, like, made sure that there was enough content and everything was wrapped up that I was working on. And I really put in extra hours, like, making sure that I was leaving on a good note. And I also actually made a guide for the next person. So I made, like, it's actually called Katie's Guide to Social Media for L'Oreal Paris. So I did, like, a guide for the next person so they would feel fully ready to take on the role, and, you know, things I didn't know when I got in the role and stuff. So that's kind of how I prepared to leave. And I think that that's honestly the best way to leave, is leaving with people knowing that you left it in a good place. It's like, you know, leaving the place better than you found it situation. So that's kind of how I left L'Oreal. Someone asks, will you still keep in touch with L'Oreal friends? Yes, I'm DMing a couple of people I worked with right now, funny enough, and I'm going to get coffee or drinks with them and stay in touch, because I still have so much love for the brand, and I love L'Oreal, and I love the projects I worked on, and, you know, I love the friends I've made. So of course I'm still in touch with them. I'm actually also in the works of maybe freelancing for L'Oreal and working for them on a freelance basis, because I really did fall in love with the brand. Although it wasn't right for me right now, it doesn't mean that I don't love the brand. It's like, I felt like it was a breakup, you know, where you want to stay friends with the person. So yes, I definitely do still keep in touch with my L'Oreal friends. Okay, a lot of people are asking, like, the same things just over and over. Do you miss the routine of working a 9-to-5? I miss certain things. But honestly, no, I don't miss the routine. I like being able to have, you know, yesterday is different than tomorrow, and the next day it looks different. I like having things shooken up a little bit. Of course, it does make me nervous now when I'm not doing anything. Like, there was a point today where I was, like, at home and I was in between meetings and I didn't know what to do with myself because I was like, I should be doing something. You know, I think that's a worry of a freelancer. It's like, you worry that you need to, you know, I need to be up and posting things on social media at 7:30 a.m. so people don't think I'm lazy. Like, that was my biggest fear, was people thinking I'm lazy. And, you know, I have to remind myself that I'm staying up till 2:30 every night creating content because that's when my brain works best. And I'm waking up at, you know, 8:39 or 9:30 some days because I literally stayed up till 2:30. So like it makes sense for me. And I actually remember reading this book, or I think it was in my psych class or something, you know, analyzing the different work schedules of different creatives in the past. So like artists, writers, like the famous people, the famous greats of past times, analyzing their work schedule. Some people would stay up till 6 a.m. and sleep until 1 p.m. and they were like considered some of the greats. So I think that it's just accepting my new schedule and accepting that, you know, I need to give myself breaks when I need them. It's definitely so new and so fresh, but I think it's something that like I'm gonna get the hang of eventually. So okay, I'm gonna answer a couple more questions. I know this is like gonna be a long episode tonight. I'm kind of like happy about it because I feel like whatever, it's good stuff, it's all good stuff. Someone asks, how do you get over the pressure of what everyone else thinks? Let me know because I'm still working on it. But yeah, I feel like at some point in time, you have to choose yourself. And you have to, it's so much easier said than done. And you have to know when you're in the wrong story. Because sometimes you find yourself, you can find yourself in a great story, in a great narrative, in a great job where you're like, this is someone's dream job. This is literally someone's dream job. I was working at the number one cosmetics country in the world, you know, doing really cool stuff. I was making, you know, doing photo shoots. I was planning them start to finish. I was getting a lot of, you know, funding for my ideas. And it was a cool job. It was someone's dream job, just not mine in this moment, in my, you know, in this seat where I'm sitting right now. So I think it's hard to realize when you're in the wrong story. And also on top of that, you have to worry about what other people think. And it's really tough. So I think that as long as like you feel like you are in the right story, you are doing the right thing for you, it's a lot easier to combat other people's assumptions and other people's thoughts. Believe me, like reading the comments on my video where I posted, you know, my first explanation about quitting my job, it kind of hurt my heart a little bit reading some of the comments because people were assuming so many things that weren't true. And instead of, you know, I had to, you know, stop myself from commenting and explaining myself and like justifying myself and being like, you don't get it. Because here's the thing, people aren't going to get you, okay? People aren't, not everyone. I mean, some people will get you, but not everyone's going to get you. And you have to just know that that's like, that's what comes with it. And, you know, the time is going to pass anyway. Like in your life, time is going to go on. Time is not going to stop, but you can either spend it creating the things you want and doing the life you want, or you can spend it living the life you don't want and know that you don't want. And the choice is yours. Ultimately, it's not anyone else's. So stop giving people so much power over you, because ultimately it's your life. You only get one. I mean, from as far as I know. So yeah, yes, it's hard dealing with other people's assumptions, especially when they're wrong. But I've learned that as long as I feel secure in what I'm doing and my choices, like that's really the ultimate person I need to please. So yeah, it's hard, but yeah. Okay. I think making yourself happy will make your life dealing with other people's assumptions a lot easier. Okay. I'm reading more questions. Someone asks a really, really great question. How did you know you weren't doing the right thing for you? I think it was hard at first, it was just hard in general to pinpoint the fact that I was unhappy and, you know, really admit it to myself that I needed to make a change, because of course it's a lot easier staying where you are than making a change and rocking the boat in your life. So I kind of was ignoring it for a long time. I knew that I wasn't happy. You know when you're unhappy. It's not hard, I think, to realize you're unhappy. It's just hard to realize that what you're unhappy about is worth making a change. And so I think I just had all these other things I loved to do, so much more. And I was making money from some other things I really loved to do. And so it took me a long time to realize that it took me a long time to believe in myself enough to know that I could do these other things and I could succeed and I could survive. And so I think finding the courage was harder than realizing I was unhappy. I think that was pretty easy. And so, you know, I think, you know, I'm trying to answer this question directly. So how did I know I wasn't doing the right thing? I think when my passions, or when I was, going back to what I was saying, when I was unhappy way more than I was happy, that's when I knew that I wasn't doing the right thing for me. Because Of course, there's things in your day-to-day, in your job, in your corporate life that you're not going to love. There's going to be little things. I mean, even in your day-to-day life of just being on this planet, you have to do things. You have to pay your dues. You have to do things you don't want to do. For the rest of your life, you're going to be doing things you don't want to do. But it's because you do all these things you do want to do, and you have to do the things you don't want to do in order to do the things you want to do, if that makes sense. That was like a crazy sentence. But yeah, I think that once you realize that, it's the bigger battle is making a change and doing something about it. So I knew that I wasn't doing the right thing for me when I just felt like I was looking out the window and thinking, like, I haven't seen the sun in a long time, or like I haven't felt the sun on my face in a long time. Because working in a corporate job, it's like you're kind of like inside a lot. And I feel like that was like the weird one thing I noticed, like every day, like day in and day out. I was like, what would I do if I could feel the sun on my face and like create whatever I wanted to create? Or like I would just like fantasize about it so much. I would fantasize about quitting every single day. And that was when I knew that I wasn't doing the right thing for me, because if you're doing the right thing, you're gonna like fantasize about quitting like once every 3 months, not every single day. So once you start fantasizing about quitting every day, I think that's when you know it's time for a change. So that was how it was for me. And of course, like I said, it was like a bigger battle from that point on, figuring out that I actually wanted to quit. And you know, I realized that I wanted to quit months before I actually did it. So yeah, I think that wow, guys, I think I answered a pretty decent amount of questions, and that kind of explains to you my reasoning and what I'm doing now. Essentially, it's just opened the door to so many new things I can do, so many ways I can create things that will benefit me, will benefit brands, will benefit you guys. I think that this is just the start of something, dare I say it, the start of something new. High School Musical fans will know. But yeah, I'm really excited for my future. I'm excited for tomorrow. I'm excited for right now. And I think that that's something I couldn't say a few months ago. And so I'm thrilled, to be honest. So thanks for listening, guys. I hope you all enjoyed this episode and my honesty. And I can't wait to talk to you guys next week. Talk to you guys later. Bye.